You're listening to His Radio Talk, and this is Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. To be part of our program, just dial 1-864-977-TALK. That's 864-977-8255. Then you can talk to our hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, good morning. Welcome into a Tuesday edition of Christian Worldview with Tony or Hannah. And we actually have Tony and Hannah today for about an hour, and that'll be it. I've got to leave at 8 o'clock, and then I'll be going to Dallas Wednesday through Friday. So just hush about it, okay? I get it. We're supposed to both be here. This is Tony Beam. I'm the Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, and that's where Christ makes the difference. My co-host is Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian, this is Hannah Miller, informed and unafraid.
So you're still all those things,
eh? Yeah, I'm still, I've been hanging on to it with, you know,
both
my
hands.
Fingertips,
just,
but as I've been
going. Just
get
a grip. You got to get a grip, because you got to put your big girl pants on now for the impeachment stuff.
I'm going to pretend it's not happening, actually.
That'd be good. There's a lot of people that are telling me they just don't listen to the news.
I mean,
they'll wave at me. They give me the wave. Like, if I start to say something about it, they go, nah, I'm not watching that.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, and there's so many people, too, that I've heard, they're just like, it's just a distraction from the important stuff that's going on. And there's probably some legitimacy to that, too. But I'm like, yeah, but we probably should know a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, well, it's real. I mean, we're going to go through.
I mean, it is going
on. We're going to go through this. And it's crazy. I mean, we'll try to catch up on some of the, there's always developments. And yesterday was Rosh Hashanah. So that means no Ben Shapiro. So that was
I was kind of in
withdrawals.
Morning.
Man, I'm looking. I kept going back over there.
No, wait a minute.
This is still the Sunday show. I've heard the Sunday show. What? Where are you?
I know.
And then I looked at the calendar and I went, it's Rosh Hashanah. He's not going to be. He's not going to be on today either.
Yeah, 2 days. Yeah. I started listening to Daniel Horowitz as well, and he's not on either.
Yeah.
Neither
is Mark Levin. I mean, all these people. You know, it's great day.
I know.
You know, I get it. It's important, but we
need you.
We need you. Yes. So anyway, but some of the things that are happening that you just need to be aware of, so that you. When you enter into all these conversations, the House Republican Conference Chairman Liz Cheney pushed for answers on how much top Democrats knew about the White House whistleblower's complaint before it was made. Now, if you're wondering where all this is coming from, Liz Cheney was going ballistic yesterday because of comments that Nancy Pelosi made on 60 Minutes on Sunday night. This is a quote. I mean, these are being referred to as head-turning comments by Nancy Pelosi. I don't know how head-turning they are, but it is either a slip of the tongue or it is an innocent statement. I mean, and with these folks, there's nothing innocent that I can see, but it could be interpreted a couple of different ways. Pelosi told CBS News 60 Minutes speaking about the president, a conversation she had with him about the discussion with the Ukrainian president Zelensky over the whole aid thing. Pelosi said, he told me it was perfect. There was nothing on the call, referring to a conversation she'd had with the president. But then she followed up. But I know what was in the call, Pelosi continued. I mean, it was in the public domain. So now people are asking, because she said that, did she have information before the whistleblower's report was filed that this was coming? So now the question is, was the DNC, was the Democrat Party, not necessarily the DNC, but were Democrat Party leaders like Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, did they know this was about to happen? Did they know the content before it was released? And is that why they were willing to move so fast on impeachment when they didn't even have a transcript before they even saw a transcript of the telephone call? So that's what Liz Cheney's having a fit about. And look, I've said, what, I don't know how many times last week and probably yesterday, that this appears to be the same type of desperate tactic that happened during the Kavanaugh hearing. This is the last minute. We couldn't come up with impeachment for any other reason, so we're gonna, you know, trot this out there based on second and third hand information. So that's just a little update. Yesterday, the news kind of focused around some of Nancy Pelosi's comments on 60 Minutes, causing Republicans to say that they wanted to look into the fact as to whether Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and others had knowledge about this before it hit the news. That's from Fox News. All right, then there's this story. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and a guy whose name you're probably going to hear more and more. Let's see if I can find his name in here after I said that, is Devon Archer. Now, Devon, the reason his name is important is that he was on this Ukrainian gas company board, Burisma, with Hunter Biden. Joe Biden yesterday pretty much denied that he and his son had had any conversations about him being on the board of Burisma. Well, there's a picture from 2014 of Hunter Biden, Devon Archer, who was on the board, and Joe Biden playing golf in the Hamptons. So it's a little bit hard to believe that they didn't have a conversation about a board, or that Joe Biden didn't know anything about Hunter Biden being on the board of Burisma, or that they had talked about it when they're out golfing with a guy who was on the Burisma board with Hunter Biden. So there's that. Tucker Carlson.
Maybe he just doesn't remember.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean,
he's having a hard time with his memory.
I wouldn't. This was in August of 2014. I wouldn't remember playing golf in the Hamptons if it was me either. Of course, I'm sure they do that quite a bit. But the bottom line is that it strains credulity to think that Joe Biden wouldn't have a conversation with his son about the fact that he was on the gas company board of Burisma when Joe Biden is the vice president of the United States. I guarantee you aides in the White House were raising questions about this. In fact, there's a New York Times story that talks about Biden's work in the Ukraine and praises him for it. But in that New York Times story, the writer of the editorial piece comes back and says, you know, all of this could be undermined by the fact that it appears there's a conflict of interest because of Hunter Biden's involvement in this Ukrainian company. And the New York Times said that Hunter ought to get off the board because of that, because it's going to undermine his father's work. So this is something
then,
that was known.
But all these years later, it's starting to
hurt.
Yep.
Well, and here's the thing. No, of course, the news media, the mainstream media, was not going to pay any attention to this until they had to. Mm-hmm. And the only reason they have to now is they're trying to find a way to make it look like nothing so that all of the attention could be focused on the president.
Well, and it's also, he was a part of a scandal-free presidency. So, you know, they have perpetuate that idea.
So there's the picture out there. That was, as they say, and another thing. And then here's one more. Win Red is a GOP fundraising apparatus. Mm-hmm. And they have reaped over $11 million since the time that the impeachment was announced. They from that moment until now, they've raised $11.5 million. Up until, and in fact, the total is $28 million since they launched 3 months ago. But $28 million, so they were doing pretty well. But they really got a boost. I mean, $11 million came in within just a few days.
I remember, I think, when they first started talking about impeachment so many months ago, you know, you and I said it would probably be one of the best things that could happen for the president at that point, because, of course, they didn't have a leg to stand on then. It doesn't appear that they really do now either. And now we're seeing this money kind of pouring in to the RNC, where they're saying, and it appears that people are saying, this is not what we want.
And WinRed started in July, so you know, it's only been around for 3 months, and so for that portion of it to come in since the announcement of impeachment, and by the way, WinRed is for small donors. This is not corporations. Mm-hmm. This is not big money bags. People that can max out. This is the $25, $50, $100 donations that political campaigns are made up of.
Yeah.
And they've raised $28.1 million.
These are the people that that Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton, these are the deplorables. These are the average American people that are just so sick of the partisanship.
Yeah, but in fact, they probably should just call this you know, the deplorables fund. That would be a little bit more descriptive. And then the final thing that's sort of new, the New York Times put out a report that said that President Trump and William Barr have been pressuring Australia to investigate or to look into elements of the Mueller report. And a letter that was released, that emerged rather Monday from the Australian government, sort of disputed the accuracy of the New York Times report. Here's what the letter said. I'm just going to read it to you. Because the Times is saying that that Australia didn't want to have anything to do with this, and that the president pressured them into looking into items of the Mueller report. But this letter, which came from the Honorable Joe, this looks like Joe Hockey from Australia, it says, "Dear Attorney General, I refer to President Trump's announcement on 24 May that you will investigate the origins of the Federal Bureau of Investigation's probe into Russia links in the 2016 U.S. election. I note that the president referred to Australia, the United Kingdom, and the Ukraine as potential stakeholders. Moreover, I noted that he has declassified intelligence material to support your investigation. The Australian government will use its best endeavors to support your efforts in this matter. While Australia's former High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, the Honorable Alexander Downer, is no longer employed by the government." What a downer that Downer couldn't be there anymore. "We stand ready to provide you with all the relevant information to support your inquiries. The acting White House Chief of Staff, the Honorable Michael Mulvaney, has been copied on this letter. Yours sincerely, the Honorable Joe Hockey." So, this is the reason this is significant is because this letter states that these Australian officials learned of President Trump's announcement. He basically just said, "We're going to be trying to get cooperation from the Australian government, the British government, and the Ukraine, and looking into the FBI's investigation." So the Australian government responds by saying, "Heck yeah. You need our help? We'll be glad to help you any way we can." Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't sound like the president pressuring Australia to me. That doesn't sound like him going out of his way. It sounds like the Australian government was more than happy to assist the president in any investigation that he requested. So the New York Times story, again, is hogwash am I. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back. 888-660-9535. The local number is 864-977-8255. Don't go away.
And now here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Beam.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Tony Beam.
I'm Hannah Miller.
And we're here for a little while together. By the way, Corey Truex will be coming in Friday. And I know a lot of you like to listen to Corey and Hannah together. So you want to be sure to tune in on Friday. Because I read so much stuff, there are not a lot of stories that disgust me or cause me to become righteously angry to the point of just wanting to hit something. Mm-hmm. But this is one of them. I mean, I can't think of anything that is more evil than giving children a drug that stops puberty because they're confused at 8 years old about their gender. That anybody would think that this is something that is a thing that you would do and call that a benefit to the child. Mm-hmm. This is from the Daily Wire. Matt Walsh wrote about it yesterday because NBC's gotten involved in the Daily Wire's original story about Lupron, which is what we're talking about. And it was last week. Let's see when this story was actually published. September 26th. So it was earlier this week that the Daily Wire reported that more than 6,300 adults have died from reactions to a drug that is used as a puberty blocker in gender-confused children. And that's FDA data. That's where this is coming from. Between 2012 and June 30 of this year, 30th of this year, the FDA documented over 40,764 adverse reactions suffered by patients who took luprolide actate, or Lupron, which is used as a hormone blocker. More than 25,500 reactions logged from 2014 to 2019 were considered serious, including 6,370 deaths. Now, let me put this in perspective for you, because Lupron is also used to treat prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these deaths, no doubt about it, were linked to people who were taking the drug that already had prostate cancer. But the fact remains, NBC called this a fake news story, but the fact remains that Lupron is being prescribed by doctors as a puberty blocker for transgender children who are trying to make up their mind whether they want to be male or female. And in order to put off puberty, they give them this drug. And the fact that you would give a drug like this, a cancer treatment, which Matt Walsh pointed out yesterday, the left progressives are treating puberty as mm-hmm. if it were a disease.
A cancer.
Absolutely.
Right. They're saying this is something that's so bad we want to use a blocker. Now, you know, in the original story, they do, Daily Wire did say, you know, when there's children who start puberty way too early, they'll
right.
give them this drug
yes.
to prevent and then, until an appropriate time, and then they'll take it away and
which
they
is rare.
Allow.
I mean, that's a very super
duper
rare.
Right. But what they're now doing is saying, well, if you as a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old are saying you don't want to be, you're a girl and you don't want to be a girl, you want to be a boy, we're going to give you this puberty blocker so that you won't progress, as if puberty, like you just said, is some sort of illness when it's just the reality that we live in.
It's altering the natural course of their life mm-hmm. based on a psychological problem that they have with their own gender. Mm-hmm. And particularly because these are children. I mean, children, who makes the decision as to whether a child has a genuine psychosis when it comes to mm-hmm. gender, or if they're just going through the normal questioning that children go through at a certain age about sexuality and gender.
I remember growing up, every year, you know, every 4 years we watch the Olympics and we love them. And we would, growing up, people would talk about Asian countries, particularly China, et cetera, where they would pluck children out, the adults would pluck children out at a certain age, they're very young, and then they would control their entire future, no matter what that child personally wanted. They would say, well, you know what, you're kind of have a direction like this, so we're going to make you be a gymnast, and you're going to be a gymnast, and that's the direction we're going to put you in. And I remember all the adults in my life thinking, wow, you know, that's so wrong for adults to be inflicting their own personal preference or ideologues onto these children at such young ages over in these Asian countries. That's exactly what we're doing now to yeah. our children.
Well, except it's worse. I mean,
yes, way worse.
These children are, I mean, the children you're talking about had decisions made for them like diet, workout routines,
yep.
exercise. Their whole life revolved around the fact that they were going to represent their country one mm-hmm. day in the Olympics. I mean, that was and communist countries were known for doing mm-hmm. that. But this is a life altering decision being made by adults for children who happen to be confused when they don't know.
And that was the thing that was so, you know, horrible back in the day, was they're making these decisions for children who aren't ready to make these kinds of decisions.
Right.
And that's exactly what we're doing now, but at a worse level. And
90% of children who go through any kind of gender questioning mm-hmm. end up, you know, fine, being mm-hmm. on the path of their gender. And the 10%, most of the 10% are also end up okay if they just require counseling or maybe a little something extra mm-hmm. because they're experiencing more confusion than is normal for a prepubescent boy or girl. But this is, to me, this is evil. Mm-hmm. To have someone to think a child has the ability to be able to say, I think I may be female or male. So, an adult has to make the decision. I mean, what do children know about puberty? You know, they're not. Nobody,
what do children know about anything? They wouldn't brush their teeth if you didn't make them.
A 7 or 8-year-old is not going to walk up and say, you know, mom and dad, You know, I've got puberty yawning before me here, and I don't want to go through puberty until I decide whether I want to be a girl. This is all driven by a progressive ideology by adults who want gender confusion and gender identity to be a thing. And it's just it's awful. I just can't imagine. The only thing that I've heard lately that makes me more disgusted than this is the fact of the proliferation of child pornography. I had no idea. I heard a statistic yesterday that like 10, 15 years ago, there were 100,000 examples of child pornography on the internet, and now there are 45 million, which is, I mean, you know, police are doing what they can. They're trying, but the sophistication of these people to be able to do what they do is growing, and it's getting harder to catch them. And so you have all this. So that is a horrible that. But to me, having adults that would impose on children at such an early age a drug that has side effects, and one of the side effects is to stop the natural progression of a child until they have an opportunity to decide for themselves which gender. One of the most natural things that you can imagine, the progression from being a child to an adult, and you're going to stop that. You're going to use a drug to stop that because you believe that there's some type of value in this for the child so they can choose their gender. I didn't see this one coming. I mean, I try to see cultural trends, mm-hmm. but who in their wildest imaginations could have imagined that this would happen?
Well, and this may be a bridge too far, and you can tell me if it is, but I guess it shouldn't surprise us with a culture that is apparently, as you just told us, obsessed with child pornography. Should it really surprise us that they want to keep children prepubescent?
Well, I'm sure that the child pornographers would see that as a fringe benefit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's good. That's going too far.
No.
Because obviously these people are trafficking in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about horrible things that we're not even going to talk about here because I can't. there would be a connection, obviously, between people who would want to mm-hmm. keep these children. But the idea that children don't even have the right mm-hmm. to just grow up. I mean, how twisted have we become as a people when we think it's a good thing to interfere in a child's natural development? I didn't see this one coming.
Well, and we're also a culture, though, who believes that life is pain. It's a horrible thing to be born. We
right.
believe we can sue our parents for giving birth to us.
Yeah.
So I guess this goes right along with that idea where, well, don't let them grow up because growing up, adulting is hard. It's horrible. So it's a horrible place to be. So maybe they think it's a better thing for kids.
Jim's on the phone. Jim, thanks for calling.
Thank you for this opportunity. I hope I understand what I'm saying is understood. Somebody said recently, every sentence can be taken two ways. And also, I think a lot of callers would like to say what I'm going to say. And I hope it's understood. I want to thank you for what you've been talking about the last couple minutes. I appreciate you helping us understand politics, but sometimes I get frustrated so much politics they're getting for free. An example of that, what you've just been talking about, child pornography and this craziness about 6,000 people died over this drug. My point is there's so many issues besides politics. I appreciate you talking about this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I really appreciate it because you help us understand about politics like nobody else that I know. But there's so many other things besides politics to talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's understood.
No problem, Jim. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening to the show today and that you're finding some value in what we have to say. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll come back. We are available if you want to talk to us, just like Jim did, 888-660-9535. You can call locally. Jim's long distance. He's in Chattanooga. But you can call 864-977-8255. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
And now, here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Beam.
All right, welcome back, and thank you for listening to the program today. We're happy to have you since Hannah and I are here together for at least another 30 minutes. By the way, if you're interested in the timeline for all of the Biden stuff, you can. There's a great piece today at National Review. I've actually PDF'd this, put it on my laptop, so I'm good, because it's going to take me It would take you a long time to read through all this. This is Jim Garrity, who's taken the time to kind of tell us all about how the stuff with Biden happened. All right, we've got a caller, and I've got a lot of music in my head here. So, yep, thank you. This is Bill. Welcome to the program, Bill.
A very good morning to you, Mrs. Miller, and we thank God that you're back safely and hope the family is doing well. And to you, Dr. Bean.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Dr. Bean.
Yes.
Dr. Bean, I did not know this, and I wanted to get you and Mrs. Miller's impression of this.
We don't do impressions.
I think.
Go ahead.
Well, you do a very good job of impression that you have a great fondness for me. So then you tell me that's not sincere. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I think the former Speaker of the House, I think it's Paul Ryan. I get those Ryan's names mixed up. But I did not know that he is currently on the executive board of Fox Incorporation.
Okay.
And that over the last, since he's been there, he has been having Mr. Murdoch, must be the younger Murdoch, and they have begun to be prepared Fox for after the President Trump's time in office, and particularly during this process of this so-called impeachment. Have you heard anything about that? Because there is a lot of bickering going on television between Shepard Smith and Hannity and all of those, that they are preparing for, because of Mr. Ryan's suggestion, that President Trump won't be around. And then you see these polling recently. I don't pay those polls too early now to say. But is it gotten to the point that the country is just tired of so much going on? Was this the plan for the Democrats and for some moderate Republicans just to have so much come out that you just tire the people out of controversy and they think this is what's going to the people are going to get tired and then they are just going to say we better move on? Just want your opinion on that, and I thank you all for what you do.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bill, thanks. Look, there's no question that chaos is being generated, because within chaos the people who use chaos for their own ends are very, they know how to manipulate opinion that within chaos. They know how to push the country in a certain direction when chaos is generated. I don't think there's any question about that, but I don't, here's what the jury is out to me about. And I don't, there are people who tell you they know for sure one way or the other. I don't think anybody knows for sure whether or not this impeachment and all of this current chaos is going to benefit the Democrats or the Republicans, whether it's going to benefit Trump or whoever becomes the nominee. The country is definitely tired of just constant daily strife. But you've got some indicators that their weariness with all this is pushing them more into the camp of wanting to defend Trump, because they believe, no matter what they think about Trump, they believe he's being treated unfairly. Now, you talk about a way to get suburban women to come back to the table for the Republican Party, convince them that an injustice is being done mm-hmm. to someone, and they're going to be all over that.
Yeah. I mean, they were all over the Kavanaugh thing.
Right.
The suburban women really could not stand what happened with Kavanaugh, because they saw through that. And they said, no, this is a gross injustice. And if you can put Kavanaugh and Trump up together in this scenario and say, look, the same kinds of thing is happening to Trump right now, they'll come along. You're exactly right, Dr. Bean. They're going to say, no, this, I don't like him, but this cannot stand.
Well, and see, that's not why I've been linking these two things, but I think they're linked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so obvious when you look at the timeline of how these things have happened. Since the president was elected back in November of 2016, the progressives have tried everything in the book to get him out of office. Mm-hmm. They've wanted to impeach him since the day after the election, since the moment it became clear that Trump was going to win. There have been those who have wanted to impeach him. So now, you know, they're moving in that direction. And everything that they've tried has epically failed. It's just been it's been a disaster for them, because the progressives who pretty much own the majority of the news media are accustomed to be able to get what they want, to put the pressure that they need in order to get the results that they want. They failed with Kavanaugh, and they failed with Trump. And so, and both of these at the last minute. With Kavanaugh, it was this last second false accusation that was brought against him that was absolutely no truth in it whatsoever, manufactured. And then they keep coming back and trying to take another bite at the apple, trying to, and of course, what they're doing, part of what they're doing is setting Kavanaugh up. Because I guarantee you, if Trump loses the election and you get a majority of Democrats in the Senate, they'll move against Kavanaugh. They'll try to impeach him, and they'll try to remove him. And they'll bring up all this bogus stuff and try to get him removed from the Supreme Court, just like they're trying to get Trump removed. When people don't make the decisions, just always keep this in mind. When progressives have a voice, and people don't make decisions that progressives like, they will use any means necessary to undo the decision of the people to impose their will on the country. Mm-hmm. Now, let me say that again. When a decision takes place in a democracy, in a constitutional republic such as we have, which is a form of democracy, it's not a pure democracy, but it's a variation of democracy. When that happens, then progressives are going to find another way to thwart the will of the people and impose their own will. I'm going to give you another example of that right now. You know, we've talked about this a little bit on the program before, but you've got people still pressuring companies like Wells Fargo to stop allowing money transfers to go to conservative organizations. Mm-hmm. Listen to this from the Federalist. You work hard, save what money you can, get a loan for the rest, and take a chance on starting your own business. It's the American dream, right? But what if that loan weren't there, or if political or social pressure causes the bank you trusted with your business to cut you off? Then that dream can turn into a nightmare. That's what happened. This is happening. This is not speculation. This is coming from the Federalist, by the way. This is not, this could happen. This is happening. That's what happened to many American entrepreneurs thanks to the Obama administration's Operation Choke Point. Launched in 2012, Operation Choke Point's stated purpose, according to government documents, was to attack internet, telemarketing, mail, and other mass market fraud against consumers by choking fraudsters' access to the banking system. Now, using that initiative, progressives are trying to use that to choke off people that the left don't like. Instead of it being a legitimate situation where you've got abuse of the internet or something going on that would warrant money being dried up, this is progressive saying that an abuse of the internet is anybody using the internet for a purpose that we don't like. Mm-hmm. So if you're conservative, they want to stop payments coming from a bank to your organization. If you're the NRA, if you're a gun seller, if you're a Christian baker who wins a Supreme Court case, then what the left would like is to say to banks like Wells Fargo, stop credit payments to these organizations, cut off their money. And pressure coming from progressives to do this. So they want to upend the law. They want to upend a federal election. They want to upend a Supreme Court nomination. And now they're not satisfied with all of that. They want to go after any organization that stands against them and cut off their money. I mean, this is real. This is not made up. This is not some kind of
a novel
right-wing conspiracy. Mm-hmm. This is happening, and some banks are beginning to go along with this. We reported, and I'll have to go back and look it up because I can't remember the details, but there was a nonprofit that had invested money in a bank and they were supposed to get a dividend. In other words, the people were giving, mm-hmm. and the bank put their the nonprofit put their money in the bank to get interest off to operate with, which is not unusual. And the bank was refusing to release those funds because of pressure from progressive groups that said this is a hate speech yeah. group, and so you shouldn't be allowing them to use your bank to, in their words, launder money. I mean, this is their money. This is a bank saying to a group, because we don't approve, we've got people pressuring us that don't like you, we're not going to let you have the money that belongs to you. This is insane.
It's just another example of the progressive left being so inclusive, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's their mantra, is that that's what they are. And then yet you just have to open your eyes just a little bit to see that that is not what they're about at all. You know, after the 2016 election, they went after women because they were like, well, you didn't vote the way we wanted you to vote, and so now, you know, we're not including you. You have to be the right kind of woman. They've now gone after people who are of a different ethnicity, and they said, if you're not voting the way we want you to vote, you're not one of us either. You know,
right.
And so it used to be they tried to tell you that they wanted to include everybody. They were the inclusive party. They were the ones that embraced everybody. They weren't the racists or the bigots or anything like that.
Right.
But now they don't care what your skin color is. They don't care what your gender is. They don't care anything about you as long as you toe the party line.
And that's where gender, you know, you talk about gender confusion. Gender is now not just related to biology, but it's related to ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And race and ethnicity is not related to biology or racial characteristics or ethnic characteristics. It's related to ideology. You, in order to be considered a member of a minority, then you have to adhere to progressive ideas about what that minority should believe. And if you don't, mm-hmm. even if you are a member of that mm-hmm. minority, you're not considered part of the team.
Nope.
We saw this at the hearing. You saw it. I wasn't able to be there, but the heartbeat bill hearing, where you had a black lawmaker who stood up and defended the heartbeat bill and was attacked mm-hmm. essentially as a traitor.
Yeah.
Because he was defending life. I mean, it was a horrible thing.
Well, there's a lot of people who would say that, you know, Candace Owens is both a woman and a black African-American. She said they come after her all the time. She's not the right kind of black American.
Right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. 888-660-9535. Be a short segment on the other side because we went a little bit long. Local number is 864-977-8255. You're listening to His Radio Talk.
And now, here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Beam.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for listening to the show today. This is Tony Beam.
This is Hannah Miller.
And I wanted to throw this story out before I run out of time this morning. This is coming from National Review. A sixth grade girl who claimed her hair was cut by three fellow students in a racist attack on her school playground has admitted to making the story up, according to a statement from the Emmanuel Christian School in Springfield, Virginia, provided to the Washington Post. Now, if you're wondering about that name, you're going, Emmanuel Christian School in Springfield. Something about that sounds familiar. The reason is because Karen Pence is teaching there. And that was a mm-hmm. big deal. You know, they tried to...
Yeah, they said, how is she needs to respond to this, and
right.
how is she going to handle it, as if, you know, it's her fault that
right.
this happened.
Well, but it was a big deal before that she was mm-hmm. teaching at that school mm-hmm. because it was a Christian school, and they examined the policies of the school.
Now they're a bunch of
Christian
racists.
They went after
racists.
The school. Mm-hmm. Right. They were homophobes. They were, you know, because they don't allow the teaching of of the LGBT agenda, they were viciously attacked, and Karen Pence was attacked just for teaching there.
Mm-hmm.
So then this comes along. So mm-hmm. it gives another opportunity. This is another chance to use a backdoor operation against the president by going after his wife and saying, look, we told you this school was not right. Now mm-hmm. we see that they're harboring a bunch of racists. Well, it turns out the whole thing was a fraud. The girl's family issued a statement apologizing to the three boys that she accused, who have not been publicly identified as of
Thank
this
goodness.
Time. Yeah, absolutely. Quote, we understand there will be consequences. We're prepared to take responsibility for them. The statement read, we know that it will take time to heal, and we hope and pray that the boys, their families, the school, and the broader community will be able to forgive us in time. Now, that's a That's a beautiful statement by the family. I mean, that's taking responsibility and admitting that this was wrong. But the thing that really bothers me about it is that immediately it's assumed, because this is a Christian school, that this just that it must be true. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be, because this accusation, nobody would make a false accusation about a racial attack. The girl actually said, when she was talking about it, she accused those boys of pinning her down, calling her ugly, and referring to her hair as nappy, and then taking out scissors and cutting off some of her dreadlocks. She did the whole thing, made up the whole thing herself. And the other place I want to go with this, that I want us to think about, why would she think that she could do this, and why would she think that it was okay for her to lie about this kind of attack against her? And the answer, from the parent's statement, I don't think this is something she learned at home, but I think it's either something she learned from friends or from the culture or somewhere else. She got the idea that if it's about race, then it's okay to say things that are not true in order to put a highlight around, to be able to use that as a way to discredit people that you want to come after. Mm-hmm. That she's, and of course, that's happening in our culture all the time. It's happening.
Well, I mean,
progressives.
Victims are these days put up on a pedestal,
and
so that's she's a 12-year-old girl. That's what she was going for. I mean, I don't think she's like, oh, I want to destroy these boys' lives because they've said something. No, she wants attention. She's a 12-year-old girl, and of course, that's just conjecture on my part. But knowing what I know about 12-year-old girls, that's no doubt what was going on in her mind.
Yeah.
And so she said, well, she looked around in culture, and she's listening to music, and she's reading magazines, and she's seeing what people are and hearing what people are talking about. And she knows, oh, well, if I can make myself a victim,
right,
I can get attention. And then she knows that one way to do that is race.
But she also knows something else from the culture. She knows that if she does this, that she'll be believed, and that it will hurt. I think she knew that this was, the hurt of this was going to go beyond these boys. Mm-hmm. That she's probably is someone who's in her parents or making her go to this school. I'm speculating now. I want to be clear that that's what I'm doing. But her parents are making her go to the school. Maybe she doesn't like the environment. Maybe she doesn't like the things she's hearing. And this is an opportunity to push back against all that and get attention brought to herself. So I think it's a lot of things at play here. But she is surrounded by examples of people using something that's not true to advance an agenda. I mean, she sees that, just like you're exactly right. She hears it in music. She sees it in what she reads. And I get it, 12 years old, that's awfully young to be attributing some of this to. But
she's most likely on Snapchat, and it's all over Snapchat.
It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The social media would certainly be a factor in what she's dealing with.
And
so
she gets away with it on two factors, because it's not only a race issue, because, you know, and we say anytime there's a white person who accuses a black person who accuses a white person, especially little young children like this, it's believed automatically.
Right.
You also have the Christian aspect of this, but also hashtag believe all women.
Right.
You know, I mean, she has that in her corner as well, where we've been touting this, you know, we just believe women no matter what they say, if they say that there's been any kind of assault.
You know, I would, NBC Nightly News dedicated a segment of its September 27th airing to Allen. And even today, a local Fox station reported that the school was deliberating the punishments to be given to the three boys. So this is, you know, it was picked up by the national news, even though it was kind of a local story. And the only reason it had national news because Karen, this is where Karen Pence teaches. Karen Pence teaches. This is an opportunity for us to come back and highlight this, what we said about this Christian school, even though there was no evidence other than their policies. We're going to be able to validate now because there's been a racial attack. That's who these people are. And your president's wife is associated with them. See, she must be racist, and that proves that Trump is racist. I mean, they're linking all these things together ultimately, it's undermining the president.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a twofer, because you get to go after a Christian school
right
on top of it. It's just, That's the way things are going right now, folks. We just have to be faithful, be diligent, stay strong, and continue to put the truth out there every time we see it. That's going to wrap it up for me today, and I'll be back next Monday. I may try to call. Well, when I say I'm going to try to call in, we're on a different time schedule. It usually doesn't work. But Hannah will be with you.